This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
The Single Mom Success Podcast, Episode 14. Heather Wells and the Single Mom Blog present Single Mom Success, the place for single moms to find support, inspiration, and the path to their own success. Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's Single Mom Success Podcast. I hope you guys are having a fantastic day. Today's podcast is actually a little bit late, and the topic of today's podcast is why it's a little bit late. So this podcast for this week is all about stress and ways to manage and deal with your stress. So this week has been excessively stressful for me, and it's only Wednesday. So there's a lot of different things, and as a single parent, I think parents in general will have stress. I mean, having children can be extremely stressful. You have, the normal levels of stress that a person has just in their everyday life, and then you throw a couple kids into the mix, and it's like a whole additional layer of stress and things to worry about and things to focus on and things to make sure you've got covered and, you know, futures to worry about. And am I doing it right? Am I doing it wrong? Are we saving for college? Do we not have the money to save for college? Are we going to pay the bills? You know, how do we pay for daycare? Like, it's just this additional layer of, holy crap, like, I have all these things that I have to worry about. I have a million things on my plate. And then, you know, being a single parent, that adds a different layer. And, so now you have the feeling like, you know, there's many times, I don't know if you've ever felt like this, but there's lots of days where I feel like I'm like this walking target, and I have like this giant bullseye right in the middle of me. It's like all the crap that's going to come to me. It's just like right here. Come on, just bring it. It's right here. Let's make it all fall right here on me. And so sometimes it feels like, and it can feel like, you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders. You've got, you know, just too much going on and too much stress. And, excuse me, and it's not, it's definitely not a healthy state to be in all the time. And speaking of healthy, if you hear me clear my throat, I'm actually also fighting off a cold. It's been pretty nasty here in Colorado lately. It's like, we've had the weirdest weather. And Colorado is known for being just bizarre, but it's been really, really odd. I think we had snow on Mother's Day, and it was this really nasty, wet, heavy snow. So we had tons of like tree branches breaking and all sorts of really crazy stuff. And then, of course, the very next day, you know, the sun came out and it was nice and it all melted away. But then since then, it's been just like rain and fog. It's like living in Seattle. I mean, it's really just like rainy and sort of cloudy a lot and sort of dreary, and we're all sort of sitting here going, where's our sun? We miss the sunshine. Like, we really would like some sunshine. But because of the weather being so wonky, it's really trying to give me a spring cold, and I don't want it. So I'm fighting really hard to not get this spring cold. But if you do hear me clearing my throat or sounding a little bit rougher than I normally do, it's just because I'm fighting off this, whatever this is. So that being said, then add that to my level of stress of trying really hard not to get sick. And if you're stressed, when your stress level goes up, your ability to fight off being sick goes down, right? So, you know, a lot of times people, when they're really overly stressed, they get sick really easily because their immune system goes down. So that's just another factor that, you know, you definitely want to try and avoid becoming extremely stressed. So what do you do when you are so stressed out that like your just ability to function just completely diminishes. So I'll give you an example. So one of the biggest reasons right now that I'm stressed is obviously what's the number one stressor? Money. If it's not your ex, it's your money, right? And so I, with my business, I actually have had a couple of clients, that I've had to try and chase down for money. And business has slowed down a little bit. And when business slows down, money slows down and it causes some financial stressors. And so things have been really, really tight and, you know, we're not, you know, hurting by any means necessarily. You know, things are getting paid, but things are getting paid late. And so, you know, I'm a little bit stressed about that. I hate doing that. I don't like doing that. And it definitely makes me like all scrunched up inside, you know, that stress feeling that you have where it's like, things are just not flowing the way that I want them to flow. And so the other day, my son, who my one son Gage with a major special needs, he tends to get very fixated on things. When he wants something, he will like just continue like, "Mom, can we get this? Mom, can I get this? Mom, can I get this?" And he sort of obsesses about it. He gets very obsessed with various different things. So his newest obsession is sunglasses. The boy has probably 15 pairs of sunglasses. He loves sunglasses. That's his newest collection of things. And he recently found these one sunglasses online. They look like John Lennon sunglasses, you know, the hippie circle glasses. I'm not entirely certain what drew him to those, but he found them. And they're all in different colors. And he really wants to get a pair of different colors. I think he wants all the colors, but he can only get one at a time. So he really wanted to spend his allowance on that. And I said, you know what, that's great, sweetie. And as soon as, you know, I get this money coming in from a couple of my clients, then we'll do that. But you've got to wait until that happens. And he doesn't, you know, a child with impulse control and frontal brain injury is unique in the fact that they don't always understand the concept of time really well. So, for example, I'll say, you know, honey, did you feed the dogs? Or I need you to feed the dogs. He's like, well, I just fed them. I said, no, honey, you fed them this morning. But in his mind, he had just done it. So his concept of time is very, very hard. Or he'll say something like, Mom, do you remember, you know, a couple of weeks ago when, you know, this one thing happened? And I was like, honey, that was like 2 years ago. So he really has a hard time with, you know, linear time. And so he gets really frustrated because he, with the impulse control issue thrown on top of that, he gets really upset because he really is all about that instant gratification. When he finds something he wants to be able to get it right now. So he's sort of like, you know, a 2 or 3 year old in that aspect with his brain injury, where they want what they want when they want it, and they want it now. And so that usually ends up sparking a discussion of, honey, you have to wait. I understand that you want this right now, but I can't order it for you right now. We need to wait until I have, you know, this money that has come, that's supposed to come in, or until this happens, or, you know, or it's, you know, you haven't earned the money for it yet. You have to earn the money first before you can purchase something. So I'm trying to kind of teach him those real world skills and those life skills of you can't, or you shouldn't. This is a child who should never, ever have credit issued to him, ever. Because he will spend before he has, for sure, every single time. So I really want to make sure that, you know, as he grows up, he's got this knowledge of you have to make sure you have earned the money before you can spend the money. So he was very upset. He was very unhappy about it. And it sort of sparked a little bit of a heated discussion from him, where he was, and this is where the impulse control and the anger management and the brain injury comes in. And this is kind of what we deal with on a daily basis. Usually there's always something, that he gets kind of set off about. And so he started getting very upset. He's like, well, I want to buy it and it's my money and I can spend it on what I want. And I said, you know what? That's true. You can buy those, but right now I don't have the money in my account to give you the money to buy them. And that's another part that he has a problem with. The concept of money is very, foggy for him. Like, he, if I say, you know, you have earned $10 and you received $5, so here's your money, and then we go and buy something and he needs more than $15, and I say, okay, well, you're going to owe me $4. He doesn't understand that. He's like, why do I have to give you more money? This is my money. Why do I have to give it to you if it's my money? I said, well, if you want me to pay for what you're buying on my credit card, you need to give me that money because you're paying for that, you know? And so it's very difficult for him sometimes. So there was a lot of stress, and this fight, there was this argument, wasn't even really a fight, and I wasn't even really arguing. I was trying to be very calm with him because that's usually the best way to deal with it. Otherwise, it just escalates into something very bad. It ended up setting me off because I was so stressed. It was kind of that tipping point for me where, not that I was angry with him, but I was frustrated with myself. I was very upset with myself, and I was very unhappy because of the fact that, you know, here I am telling my son, you have to wait to buy this $10 pair of sunglasses because I don't have it right now, to give you until I get these clients to pay me the money that they owe me. And, you know, once they pay me the money, then we're golden. Like, there's no issues. They owe me a fairly significant amount of money, but I'm like just on hold waiting for them to come through with that. And so it was definitely a tipping point, but I realized when this happened, like afterwards, I realized, cause I sat down and I thought about it. I'm like, man, my reaction was just like super extreme. I like had a mini meltdown in my kitchen, and it was almost a panic attack, almost, to be perfectly honest with you. And I've never even really had a panic attack, but I'm guessing that's what it would feel like, is just this feeling of like spiraling out of control and unable to stop myself from like crying and being upset. And I was like almost hyperventilating because I was so upset. It was crazy what happened. And my son, of course, he got really upset and freaked out because he doesn't see that from me. Like, he doesn't ever, or I can't say ever, he very rarely ever sees me completely lose it. Like, it just doesn't happen often, like, because I'm the mom, I'm the one that keeps everything running, so I'm the one that always has it together. And so for me to lose it and kind of completely break down about this was scary for him. He was very scared. His brother was very scared. They were just like, Mom, it's okay. Mom, it's okay. And, you know, God bless his brother, my other son, Connor. He's like, Mom, it's okay. Mom, like, we'll do whatever you need us to do. We'll help. It'll be okay. He's like, Mom, I want to get a job to help with this. I'm like, honey. And that one statement of, I'll do whatever I have to do, Mom. I'll make sure that it's okay. Like, that right there kind of snapped me out of it. Because I was like spiraling down into this, holy crap, what am I going to do? I can't, you know, the bills are not getting paid. Even though I know that this money is coming in from these clients, it's not here now. And I was panicking on what was going to happen if they didn't pay me. And I was stressed out about the fact that I didn't have money right now and some of the bills weren't getting paid like they needed to be. And I was, you know, freaking out because, like, here's my son, and I was just, you know, who wants something, and then there was just a huge layer of guilt on top of that of, I can't even buy my son this one thing that he wants right now. Not, and he doesn't even need it, and that, you know, was a point that I made to him later. I'm like, sweetheart, you gotta understand something. I understand that you want the glasses, and they will be there when the money comes, and we will get them for you. But in all honesty, honey, you need to not obsess about these because it's not like you don't have 13, 14 pair of sunglasses already downstairs. I know that you don't have these ones, but you are not going to die if you don't get these. And the fact that you keep obsessing about them and nagging me about them is kind of adding to my stress level. And so what I need you to do is understand that I know that these are the ones you want. And as soon as we're able to, I will get them for you. So just know that that's going to happen. And please don't keep asking me because it's making me very stressed out because I don't have the money to get them for you right now. I mean, and I have money in my account, but it needs to go towards groceries and gas and not a pair of sunglasses that my son doesn't need. But trying to explain to him that information is a discussion that's just, it's kind of a pick your battles type of thing. That is not a discussion that I need to get into with him because he will not fully understand that. He'll be like, well, if you have the money, why can't we just get the glasses? And I don't really want to get into that discussion of these things need to be paid first, and it just would be a bigger, longer issue. So, but the fact that Connor was like, Mom, I'll do whatever I have to do. I promise I'll help you. It snapped me right out of it because I never want my kids to feel like money is their worry. I never want them to feel like money is something that they need to worry about. That's a grown-up issue. That's a grown-up problem. That is my issue as the parent. Now, do they need to understand how money works? Do they need to understand that our family is on a budget? Yes, and they have been taught that and will continue to be taught that. I mean, my kids know that we have a budget, that if we want to do certain things, we have to save up for it. For example, when we went on our Disney cruise, when we decided we wanted to go on a cruise, and then we decided that we wanted to do a Disney cruise, which is a little bit more expensive than a regular old cruise, you know, we discussed it. We sat down and I said, look, I said, so if we want to do a cruise, we can definitely do that. We have to save up for it, though. And in order to do something that big, we need to come together as a family and figure out a way to make that happen. So let's discuss some of the options. We can cut down on going out to eat, all of those things. We can cut down on extra spending, right? And I said, now here's my other question. If we did something like this, what would you be willing to help out in this way? So for your birthdays and for Christmas, you usually get a large amount of money spent on you, right? Christmas is all about my kids. I don't ever buy anything for myself. It's all about my kids. So every single cent that I have to spare for Christmas, everything that I get from my families, it all goes towards the kids, right? And I told my family for many, many years, the only thing I want for Christmas is for you to send whatever you're sending for the kids early. If it's presents or money or whatever, send it early so that they have stuff under the tree. So if there were years when I was struggling and I didn't have a lot of money to spend on them, that my family would send whatever they were sending before Christmas actually came so I could make sure that there was stuff under the tree. And that was what I did for Christmas. And I still, to this day, that's our Christmas. Their Christmas is about them as kids. And I mean, really, what am I going to do? Buy myself a present, wrap it, put it under the tree and be surprised. You know, I did that a little bit when they were younger, but there's really no point at this point in doing that. So I asked them, I said, so for Christmas and your birthday, what if instead of spending $300 or $400 a piece on each of you, I only like we cut it in half. Like you get half the presents, half the gifts from me, and instead I put that money into the cruise, and we save up that way. So basically, it would be like me putting money. So you still get presents, you still get gifts, but you get a little bit less because one of your other presents is me putting money into a cruise. So the cruise would be like one big giant present. And I said, so let me know what you think about that. And if you're willing to do that. And then we can also tell family and friends, hey, if you want to get us something, this is what we want to do as a family. We want to go on a cruise and we want to save and we have to save up for it. So if you guys want to get us anything, we would love for you to contribute for us going on the cruise. And then they agreed. They said, yeah, we would, that's fine. We'd totally be okay with that. So, you know, I'm still trying to teach my kids, you know, sometimes if you want something big, sometimes you have to save up for it. And sometimes you have to sacrifice little non-essential things to get that big thing that you want. Like if you want to buy a new car, maybe you take a bus instead of paying for a cab all the time, or you know, whatever the case may be. And they learned that lesson, and it was actually really great, and we saved up for it, and we were able to go on it. It was the most amazing experience. I can't wait to do it again. And so, you know, they understand about money, but I never want them to feel like the bills are their worry, are their concern. And so I stopped and I realized, I'm like, man, I am fully allowing my stress level to boil over and now stress out my kids. Right? And that's where that one comment from my son just stopped me in my tracks. I was like, holy crap. And you know, I stopped right there and I took a breath and I said, son, I said, look, you know what? This is not your worry. And he says, well, I'm worried about you. I said, I know that you're worried about me, and I love that, and I appreciate that, and I love you very much. But the money is never something I want you to worry about. Okay? I don't want you to be stressed out. It is my responsibility to figure it out. Now, I'm open and honest with my kids, and I tell them money's tight, or we have to budget, or we can't afford this right now. But I don't ever want you to feel like it's something that you need to stress about. Like, I don't want them to be stressed at all. And so I realized that just that at that point, my stress level had gotten to a point where it was affecting my kids, and that is something that I just do not like. I do not want that for my kids. I don't want them to feel like they have to walk on eggshells around mom because she might break. You know, like, I don't want that for my kids. I don't want them to feel like, be careful because one little thing might set mom off and she'll like completely lose her mind again. I don't want that. So I really sat down and decided, okay, I know that there are things that I can do to de-stress and things that I can do to kind of help myself manage my stress better. And so one of the biggest things is just breathing, right? Like, just seriously. And it sounds so crazy, and it does. And I'm sure there's people out there going, well, breathing's not going to pay my bills. No, it is not going to pay your bills. It is not going to pay your bills. It's not going to fix your ex. It's not going to make your kids behave. It's not going to make everything all sunshines and rainbows again. But what it will do is sort of help you regulate your body. It will help you ground yourself back down to, you know, earth, and it will help calm your mind for just a few minutes. Sometimes it's as simple as just being able to sit. And I know that this may be difficult because it's, you know, you have kids, right? Kids, it's not, they're not always quiet. In fact, I find that my children need me the most when I'm trying to get just a little bit of peace and quiet. Like, if I'm trying to get a single moment to myself, that's when my children must have my attention, right? They never want my attention nearly as badly as when I want some time for myself, when I'm in the bathroom, or when I'm on the phone. Do you ever notice that? Like, they could ignore you completely throughout the day, but the second that you are in the bathroom trying to get some time to yourself or on the phone, that's when they absolutely must have your attention. It's the funniest thing ever. Not usually when it's happening, but you know, if you think about it, the circumstances are pretty funny. I can't count how many times I've been like, really? I'm in the bathroom. Like, what? Is it that important? Can it wait? But seriously, if you can sit and just sit down on your bed, on the floor, out in the backyard, wherever you can just take a second and just breathe. Like, breathe in and hold it for like 5 seconds and then breathe back out really slowly. So in, hold, and then out. And it does seem silly, but it actually can really help. It just gives you that moment. And I do this for my son too. I tell my son Gage, because he has those issues. He has those instant, you know, like, he's almost always a little ball of stress because that's just how his brain works. He is like on a constant hypervigilant state of what can I be upset about? What can I be upset about? What can I be upset about? And so what I tell him and what I'm trying to work with him is, when you get that way, when you get so stressed out or so upset or so frustrated or whatever, if you can just take that moment to breathe a few times and just relax, like seriously, just take that minute. It gives your brain a chance to kind of reset. That's what I call it. That's what I tell my son. I'm like, go to your room. You're not being punished, but go to your room, take some breaths, and reset yourself. Because right now you're stuck on mad. You're stuck on mad. That's usually where my son's at. You're stuck on mad. And for me, I was stuck on stress. I was stuck in stress mode. I was full on panic. What am I going to do? And I quite literally needed that time and that minute to just go, okay. And it didn't make everything go away, right? It'd be nice if it could, but it doesn't. But it just gives your body that second to focus on something else other than the problem and kind of calm your mind. Just give your brain and your body that second to reset itself. So that's one of the first things for stress management is just that breathing, you know. And if you can meditate, if you're a person who likes to meditate, that is a very amazing practice. You know, try and do that and get on a regular schedule. And I know that as a mom, as a parent, it is very difficult to get on a routine for yourself because you're so busy maintaining the routines for others, right? Like we're the first thing that fall to the wayside, right? We're the first thing that gets pushed to the side. Our needs, our desires, our wants, the things that we should be doing for ourselves, those are always going to be the first thing that gets pushed to the side because we are taking care of our children and making sure that their needs are met and that we're taking care of them. And so more often than not, we push our stuff to the side. And being able to sit and just take that moment, even if it's if you have to wake up 15 minutes before you're normally due to get your kids ready for the day, do that. Set the alarm 15 minutes early, wake up, take a quick shower, whatever the case may be, sit down and just breathe, meditate, whatever it is, just to sort of set yourself for the day. Or do it at the end of the day after your kids are in bed, you know, because I know that it can be hard to find a quiet moment, right? Like sometimes that's the most precious thing in the world to a mom is a quiet moment. Well, it's either the most precious thing or the most, what the heck are my kids doing because they're way too quiet. Like that's, it can either be precious or worrisome. So it's always sort of a double-edged sword. It's like, it's too quiet. What are they doing? What are they up to? There's no noise. What are they doing? So that's a wonderful place to start. One of the other things that I do for stress management is, you know, lavender is supposed to be really helpful and really soothing. I am not a huge fan of the smell of lavender. It kind of bothers me. So I can't do like regular lavender around my house, but there are other kind of options for it. So there's like lavender vanilla, and I can do that because the vanilla cuts the lavender a little bit for me, but it still gives me that therapeutic kind of smell. So, and one of my favorite things, you know, aromatherapy, it kind of depends on what your thoughts are. Not everybody's really into it. I'm not into it like huge, like a lot of people are, like, oh, all these smells will do all these great things for you. But I like smelly stuff. I like smell good stuff. You know, I'm not against it. But there's a couple of ones that I really like. So the lavender vanilla stuff is really, really nice. Bath and, or no, yeah, Bath and Body Works. They have these amazing eucalyptus based products. They're kind of expensive, but if you go when they're doing a really good sale, you can get them for a fairly cheap price. They usually have those on sale multiple times for the year. I think when I go and stock up on them is when they do. Oh, they do like a buy one, get two free, or buy one, get the second half off, or something like that. And you don't need every single product that they have, but they have this eucalyptus base one. One is like a stress reliever, and it's sort of like a eucalyptus and peppermint. So the eucalyptus is not like super overpowering, but it smells really, really good, and it's a nice stress reliever. So, and they have like a body wash slash bath foam, and they have the lotion, and they also have, and I love this, they have like a bed sheet spray where you can spray your pillows with it, and lay down and have that smell as you sleep. And it really actually, it's just really nice. It's really soothing. I'm not saying it's going to fix all your stress. Obviously, it's not. But it is super relaxing. It's sort of calming. The smell is just, it's really nice. I can't describe it. Now, if you don't like eucalyptus, you probably won't like it. But they also have one that is a sleep one that is lavender base. It's lavender and eucalyptus. And that one is really nice too. It's very soothing. And I actually use that for my daughter, the lotion. I put it on her when she's had, you know, a rough day or she's having a hard time sleeping. I give her a bath in the eucalyptus lavender stuff, and then I put the lotion on her, and she loves it. She's just like, oh. She's so funny. When I put it on her, she just literally, she's like, oh, and she sort of does this melty thing. She's like, I like this stuff so much, Mom. And it does. It sort of soothes her. So if you can, I highly recommend stuff like that. Or, you know, just a regular bubble bath. If you have a certain smell or certain, you know, something that just makes, is soothing to you. I know some people like the clean linen smell or whatever the case may be. And you can find really nice bubble baths and really nice lotions that are not Bath and Body Works. They're not as expensive. And they do the trick just as well. But those are just my favorites because I really like them. I found them a couple years back, and I've loved them ever since. So something like that. And again, I know it's hard to take a moment to always, you know, you may not always get to take a bubble bath, but again, if you can get up a little bit earlier in the morning or do it right after you get the kids in bed, finally, you can take that moment. And it's really important. I mean, one of the key things of stress and the reasons that we end up being like these little walking balls of stress is that we are not caring for ourselves as much as we are caring for our children. And definitely it is important to care for our children, obviously, but we need to care for ourselves as well. If you do not take care of yourself, you get run down, you get stressed out, and it boils over to your kids, just like I showed earlier. My stress boiled over and affected my kids. So if Mom's not happy, nobody's happy, right? That's the old saying. If Mom ain't happy, nobody happy. But it's true. If you cannot reclaim that little bit of kind of balance for yourself, you're going to be off. You're going to be off with your kids. You're going to be off with your work. You're going to be off with your significant other if you have one. You're going to be off with your friends, and you're going to be off with yourself. And that is not a fun place to be. You just feel off. And it's really, really important that you come back and kind of get back to center and get back to yourself and make sure that you are caring for yourself. Even if it's just a little bit every day, something that gives you that ability to sort of get back to you and make sure that you are caring for yourself. One of the other things that I love doing, and again, not everybody can do this, not everybody has the extra money, but I love going to Massage Envy every so often and just getting a massage for an hour. And again, not everybody has the time, not everybody has the ability, but here's my request of you. Try and be able to find that. Save up, just like we were talking about before. If it's something that you want to do for yourself, figure out a way to save up for that. And I think you can go and get a massage. I think you can do like an hour for like $69, $79. And yes, it is a splurge. And I'm not saying you have to do it every week or every month, but every so often to be able to go in and have somebody work out those knots. Or a cheaper solution or option, if it's available to you, is the massage therapy schools will often have free or discounted massage sessions because the people who are taking the massage therapist classes need to practice on people. So if you have a local place that does that, like massage therapy school or whatever, see if they have times where people can come in and get discounted sessions because they are learning. And it may not be the most amazing massage you've ever had because it's still a learning experience for that person, but it's better than nothing, right? It's somebody giving you a massage and working out your knots, and they're learning, and it helps you, and it's cheaper. So that's an option as well. Or if you have somebody who's good at giving back massages, ask them if they'll, you know, work out a couple of knots. You have some options, but definitely, you know, I love getting back massages. I just feel after I'm done, I'm just like, oh. And it's not even just the fact that I'm getting the knots worked out of my shoulders, which is great, because there's a lot of them back there. I think every time I go in, the massage tech's like, oh my gosh, you have a lot of stress in your, like, shoulder blades and stuff. I'm like, I have three kids. I'm a single mom. They're like, oh, okay, say no more. Like, that's the only explanation they need. So, but it's just even that also bit of time that you're taking for yourself and you're resting and you're focusing on something other than all of the worries and the cares, and you're just kind of getting back to center again. Like I said, you're getting back to you and getting back to center and sort of getting on an even keel. So that's why taking that time is really important. And that kind of leads into one of the other things that has been really, really important for me for my stress management, because I think a lot of my stress comes from that constant doing for others, do for others, do for others, do for others, and not do for you. And so one of the other things that I do that really helps me kind of get back to center and get back to me and refocused and manage my stress is doing things that are creative. The things that I'm passionate about, like writing or painting. I love painting. Now, I don't think I'm like the most amazing artist on the planet, and I don't know that anything that I ever paint will ever be something that's sold or shown or that anybody would even want for that matter. But I enjoy the process. I like creating. I like painting things. And it doesn't have to be a work of art. It doesn't have to be a masterpiece. It just has to be something that I enjoy, that in the end I like, that comes out the way that I want it to, and I think is beautiful or I think is cathartic. You know, and sometimes I paint and it ends up not looking all that fantastic, but the process of doing it and actual, you know, mixing the paint and putting it on the canvas and trying to make it look the way I want, and just, it's just the whole process of painting is really relaxing for me because it's something that I enjoy. Going out with some friends and singing karaoke, I love to sing. I used to sing all the time. I was in choir when I was younger, you know, had all those dreams and aspirations of being famous for singing, which, you know, obviously did not happen, but it's still something I love and I'm passionate about. So I love to be able to every so often go out and do that. And obviously, you know, going and singing, you know, cover songs with a band, going out with friends and singing karaoke, whatever it is, or just turning up the music in my house and singing as loud as I can along with the music. Something that just kind of gets me back to that thing that I love doing. Writing. If you like to write, write, you know, put it down on paper. It doesn't have to be something that anybody is ever going to read, or it could be, you know, it's totally up to you, but something that is yours, that you are passionate about, that you love. If you love to dance, turn on the music and dance. Like, it doesn't matter if you're worried about people looking at you or laughing at you, or if you're worried about, well, I'm not actually technically a good dancer, but I love to do it. Like, I never learned ballet, but I love to pretend that I know how to do it. Fine, turn on the music and dance in your living room. Who cares? Nobody's going to see you. You know, just do it. It's something that you enjoy, something that's fun for you, that kind of feeds your soul, that makes you just happy, right? Because we spend so much time trying to make our kids happy and have happy lives that sometimes we sacrifice our own happiness and the things that make us happy, and we need to make sure we do those, right? So that's really important too. And then one of the last things that's really, really important is make sure you get enough sleep. And this one is really, really hard for me because I find that I get a lot done when the kids go to bed. I am able to work on projects for clients. I am able to do a lot of things after they're in bed. It's also one of the only times where I really feel like I have time for myself. So where I'm not having to do work for clients, I'm not having to be at work, I'm not having to take care of the kids. So it's really one of the few times that I do have time for myself. So I tend to extend that out, and I usually stay up really, really late. And I'm up until like 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And then I get back up at 6, 7 o'clock in the morning to get my kids ready for school and out the door. So I'm not getting as much sleep as I should. And you know, that adds up. You know, doing that every so often, not as big a deal. But if you're doing it every single day, all the time, your body is not getting enough rest. And when your body doesn't get enough rest, it cannot regenerate itself. You and it's same thing, you know, just like with the stress. If the stress keeps you up and the stress keeps you wound and your body cannot constantly do that, it's not intended to constantly do that. It's not good for you. So if you're not getting enough rest, your body gets run down. When your body gets run down, you cannot manage stress as well. Your immune system goes down. You get sick faster. You don't deal with stress as well. I mean, when we're tired, right? If you're tired, the littlest things upset you. Whereas if you had had a normal night's sleep, it wouldn't bother you as much, right? When you don't get enough sleep, you're grumpy. You don't deal with things as well. And so that increases your stress. So that is one of the last things, and it's one of the things that I really, really have to force myself to do, because it's a bad habit that I have to stay up as late as I possibly can until literally I cannot keep my eyes open anymore, and that's not healthy for my body. And so that's the other thing to help with stress. Make sure you're getting enough sleep. Make sure you're getting enough rest. And I know that sometimes it feels like there's not enough hours in the day to get everything done, but guess what? There's not. There's never going to be enough hours in the day, ever. But here's the thing. The world will not end if that load of laundry doesn't get done until tomorrow. The world will not end if that friend that you're talking to on Facebook, if you don't talk to them for hours on end, if you say, hey, it's 10 o'clock, I got to go to bed. The world will not end if you do not finish that last chapter in your book until tomorrow. The world will not end if this one night the dishes from dinner get done in the morning, right? It's not going to be the worst thing in the world, right? And some people, they are like that. They're like, I cannot go to bed if my kitchen is not clean. I'm not that person. I am the person who, I think I've said it before, I will deem myself truly successful when I've reached the point where I can afford to have someone come in and clean my house, because I do not like doing it. I don't. It's not my style. It's never been my thing. You can ask my stepmother. I hate to clean. I hate it. I am not one of those people that enjoys it. I don't like doing dishes. I would rather clean the bathroom than do the dishes. That's how bad it is. I really do not like cleaning. I am not that home Susie homemaker person who, you know, has to have everything just perfect. I'm the person who, when you come to my house, I'm like, hi, excuse our house, but we live here. You know, I don't feel the need to make my house look absolutely immaculately perfect because somebody might stop by. I'm the person who, I find out somebody's stopping by and I do like a mad dash. Let's pick up all the crap that's kind of laying around. Now, that doesn't mean I live in a filthy home. It's not terrible, but it's, you know, it's not immaculate. It's messy. We live here. I have kids. I have dogs. It's messy. There's fur. You know, so, but, you know, I do know that there are some people out there who are like, everything has to be in its place and it has to be clean and it has to be done. And I totally get that. And in all honesty, there are times where I really wish I was that person, because I want that kind of house, but I'm really super bad at making that happen. Like, I just want to be the person who's like, come home and like, oh, they were here. The maid was here. They cleaned. I love it. And at some point I'll get there, but I'm not there yet. But if you are one of those people that you have to have those things done, and it's not a bad thing unless that is causing you to not get enough sleep, be extremely stressed out all the time, like, unless it is detrimental to your health and it's not good for you, right? If you are that kind of person who it has to be this way, and in order to make that happen, you are depleting yourself and you're not regenerating. Like, if you're taking away from yourself, but you're not putting back in, it's never going to end well. It's going to constantly keep you in a state of stress, exhaustion, frustration, you know, and at least for me, that's how I feel. You know, maybe you're one of those people who can make that work and you're good. And I'm sure that there's people out there like that. I am not one of them. I am not one of them. But I truly believe that if you are not putting back in, you know, it's I think there's like a bucket theory or something like that, or spoons. I think I read something about it where you only have so much that you can give. And if you're not putting back in, you're going to run out of stuff to give, right? Like, if you think about it, like a bucket full of marbles or a bucket full of rocks or whatever. And every time you do something for somebody else and you're caring for other people, you're giving away these rocks or those marbles. And if you never do anything to put those marbles back in, if you never do anything to replenish yourself, if you are constantly giving of yourself without doing anything to replenish yourself, you will run out of the ability to do for others. You will crash. There's just, it's the way that it works. Your body and your spirit and your soul and your mind, you have to have that put back in, or you are no good to anybody. So, for this week, that's what I'm doing, because I had my little stress meltdown. I had my little come to Jesus moment where I realized, holy crap, I'm doing it. I'm stressing out so badly that it is spilling over into my children. And that's not fair. It's not okay for them. And that is not the life I want for them. And that is not what I want for myself. So this week, I am focusing on, obviously, tracking down those people that owe me money, because that money piece is a big one. And as I can be as positive and as cheerful as I want to be, it's not going to make money up here. So I have to take care of that. But then I am working on just focusing on me, the things that are making me happy, and I'm replenishing myself. You know, I'm working on a new painting. I am working on, you know, cleaning up my area just to get a little bit more organized so it feels less stressful. Because as much as I hate cleaning, clutter makes me super stressed. So it's kind of an oxymoron, really. It's an interesting position. So when things get too cluttered, I get extra stressed. So working on getting some stuff reorganized. And, you know, last night I took the soak in the tub with the bubbles and the scents and the relaxation, and I put the stuff on my pillow and just took that soothing moment. And this morning I did the same, took the moment after the kids got out the door and just had that sort of moment of zen for myself, and trying to really get back into that non-panic mode so that I can regenerate and be okay and be more effective and helpful and a better parent for my kids, because that's what it all boils down to. If I am not in my best shape and my best form and my best self, I can't be the best parent that I can for my kids. And that's what I want. That's what I need for my children. And that's what they need from me. So I hope that this was helpful. I hope that you enjoyed this. Please let me know how you handle stress. What ways do you manage when you get too stressed out? What ways do you help take care of that? How do you relax? How do you find that moment of zen for yourself? And please feel free to leave the answers in the comments. We love hearing from you guys. And we'll talk to you next week. Take care. You've been listening to the Single Mom Podcast, the place to go for support, encouragement, and maybe a few laughs along the way. Please also make sure you head on over to the Single Mom blog for more great stuff for single moms. We have resources, free things to print out, great articles. Can't wait to see you there. Be sure to leave feedback and comments, because we love hearing from other single moms. And if you like this podcast, please be sure to subscribe.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.